World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So I'm back in the friendly haunts of my multi-million-dollar studio here somewhere east of Pennsylvania, and no, west of Pennsylvania and east of Los Angeles. And happy to be here today. I don't know what you guys thought. It was very illustrative, our interview yesterday with Pastor Bill Dunphy, and I would say this. Anybody out there who has a podcast, anybody who knows someone that has a podcast, get a hold of me, and I will connect you with Pastor Bill Dunphy. See, folks, one of the problems that we're dealing with, Lord, just bless our time together. Let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight. Amen. It's an information war. Alex Jones sold us that. It's an information war. And a vast majority of Christianity thinks what happened on January 6th was not Christian, was an insurrection. Those people were bad people. We have to turn that narrative, by the way. We have to turn that narrative. And the interview yesterday was good, and I think Spencer and those guys are chopping up little smaller segments maybe that you can share. But if you're not sharing that with other people, I don't even know why we do this. I don't even know why you do it. Because he refuted so many things that they told us that just weren't true. So you know somebody does a podcast, send them the link and say, hey, you got to have this guy on. I sent out a bunch yesterday. You got to have this guy on. Got to have this guy on. It's an information war. You got to have this guy on. I'm amazed, still amazed at the number of Christians that I come in contact with who have no understanding of what happened on January 6th. None. And I, as far as I know, Pastor Bill Dunphy was, I could be wrong, was the only pastor that was arrested. Only pastor. And then there's something else that's really unique by it. And I don't know why people don't get outraged about this. So there's a separation between the church and state. What the heck is the FBI doing, invading his church and using his sermons from the pulpit? How do they get the right to do that? So there's a separation between the churches. Wake up, folks. We got to wake up. We are in a war right now that we're going to look. It's been going on. Oh, my goodness. I'm just busting this morning, okay? Here's what came. You guys are going to think I'm making this stuff up. I don't make this up. I get up this morning while I'm making my coffee, and Holy Spirit said to me, revolution. So what? Revolution. I stopped thinking about that. We're in the midst of a revolution. You guys know that? Do you know who we are? We're in the midst of a revolution. The Bible says that the whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Are we seeing the manifestation of the sons of God? It's Romans 8, I think. Romans 8, yeah, there it is. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Maybe it's the next verse. It's 8, it's 23 maybe. We talked about it. Where is that? I know it's in it. All right. It's in there. The whole creation groaned, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I want to show you some stuff today. It's going to, we'll try to connect some dots here, okay? Somebody look that up for me. Spencer's doing a good job. I'll try to do that. The whole creation groaneth, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Hey, Spencer, let's start out with, start here. Pull that up every day. 1966, I think. Very first one says, start here. 1966.
You say you wanna win.
We had one. We've had a revolution, folks.
You tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world.
Oh, yeah, some for good, some for bad.
But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be all right?
Yeah, Paul. Evolution.
All right.
They did it. They had a revolution on us.
All right. You say you got a real solution. Well, you know, we'd all love to see the plan.
Yeah, we'd love to see that plan.
You asked me for a contribution.
No, we're not. They were. They sure fell off there.
But if you want money for people with minds that hate, all I can tell you is, brother, you have to wait.
Yeah, we have to wait. The brothers with hate are in charge.
All right. All right. All right.
Yeah, all right for the communists. Young Lennon is a communist. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you find the hell of it. Lord's on the sky, mother's on the sky. Imagine all the people living life in peace. He's a communist. It's going to be all right. In a revolution.
Constitution. Well, you know, we all want to change your head.
Oh, yeah, they want to change the Constitution. No, they want to change the way you think.
You tell me it's the institution. Well,
schools and all that. No!
You better free your mind instead.
You get a hold of your mind, baby. You get a hold of your mind.
But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow.
Yeah, you can't be obvious. It's gonna be all right. We're gonna do this on the ground. It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. Imagine there's no heaven. Jesus, all the people living life in. Okay, you can shut him down. All right, folks. It was right in front of us. It was right in front of us. Revolution. They told us they were going to do it, and we didn't do anything about it. And now, can I tell you something? They own the American church. The communists own. I'm going to get into some masculine stuff here, because I told my wife today, I know some of you want to talk about Bill Dunphy. I'll give you time. We'll get in and talk about that. Here's what I know. I figured it out. You know what they hate about Donald Trump? You know what they hate about me? You know what they hate about Joe Rogan? I'm not comparing myself to Joe Rogan. These guys are this ilk. You know what they hate? They hate my masculinity.
Boom.
They hate my masculinity. They think I'm, what would be the word? Self-confident, cocky. Somebody give me another word. Come on, somebody give me another. Arrogant. Give me another word.
Toxic.
I'm toxic. Yeah. Huh? Right. Come on. What would the Christians be saying about me? Huh? Egotistical.
Narcissist.
Pardon me?
Narcissistic.
Yeah. Go on.
Legalistic.
Confident. Huh? Egotistical. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Can I tell you something? Those are masculine traits. I'm sorry you don't understand that. Those are masculine traits, baby.
They would probably say you're bombastic, coach.
Bombastic. Angry. Mad. Why aren't you mad?
Huh? I'm mad.
Do you understand what they've done to us? Do you understand?
Misogynist.
Friends. That they have totally reshaped masculinity. In fact,
I just said I'm mad as hell.
Huh? Yeah, they've reshaped masculinity. What did the women, John Lennon, it's going to be a revolution. Oh, yeah. Huh? Why? All about dogmatic, on dogmatic. Why? Because I say black is black and white is white. That's what I say. Oh, you think white is okay? No, not here it ain't. Not here it ain't. No, not my house. Not my house. Now, some of you probably think, you're probably praying today for Michelle has to be married to me. You understand something? Even though we argue a little bit, push back yin and yang, you understand she loves that masculinity? She knows if somebody does something, I ain't going to go hide in the closet. I'm going to stand up and protect her. See, we don't even know what masculinity even means anymore. Okay, so pull up number two, and you can put it at, I got this from this guy. People who've been told Trump only cares about himself need to watch this. Can you speed it up? I have no idea who this guy is. No idea. But I watched this yesterday, and I said, That's it. They hate his masculinity. Go ahead.
You see that hill behind me? 3 weeks ago, that hill was green. For the last 10 years, you've been told that Donald Trump is an egotistical, wannabe fascist dictator who only cares about himself. I want you to watch this clip from yesterday where Trump came to L.A. to address the fire response.
We're bringing our city departments together so that people don't get caught in the loop of going from one room to the next. We want them all same room.
Hang. The Bible says that judgment is women and children will rule over them. You know it says that, don't you? Spencer, find that for me. Women, that is the judgment of God when women and children rule over them. Mel wants me to slow that down, Spencer, if you can. It's a judgment. No. See, you have been so programmed. Michelle runs our home. House. I run the whatever. I rule this place. Michelle runs the everyday aspect of it. I have to tell you this. I'm the CEO. I'm the CEO of Coach Dave family. I'm the CEO. Now, she's vice president. But I'm CEO. That's masculinity. You didn't find that, did you? What was I telling Spencer? Did you find what I said? Hang on a minute.
You can.
Okay. Women and children. It is judgment of God when women and children rule over them. I'm sorry if I'm making you uncomfortable. Huh? There it is. King James. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. That's right out of that's Isaiah. That's Old Testament. That's back before God got born again. As for my people, children are their oppressors. Somebody say, boom. Are children the oppressors in America? And women rule over them. Okay, Spencer, go back to toxic Trump, masculine Trump, sorry.
Get busy rebuilding ASAP. Absolutely. Yes.
He's busting right now.
And we will clear the lots. Absolutely. In the city and in the county. We are working together. Both levels of government are working in unity.
Here comes the masculine man.
Is it like we that's the answer that we got, and that's what we're all hanging on.
Yes.
So listen to all the soft men agreeing with
it. 6 months is it? I mean, all of our lives, rents, all this stuff is weighing on this.
6 months is no good.
And the number one thing that we are going to do immediately, and you will see this happen, is to clear out the debris. And you know, we're concerned right now over the weekend because of the potential rain, but we are going to move as fast as we can. But we want you to be safe and we want you to be back in your homes immediately.
But the people are willing to clean out their own debris. It doesn't cost a lot.
Yes, and they can.
You should let them do it because by the time you hire contractors, it's going to be 2 years.
If a family.
The people are willing to get a dumpster and do it themselves and clean it out.
And they can.
There's not that much left. It's all incinerated.
That's right.
And, you know, it's just going to take a long time if you do. You can do some of it, but a lot of these people, I know that guy right there that's talking. I know my people. You'll be on that thing tonight, throwing the stuff away, and your site will be, it'll look perfect within 24 hours, and that's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to wait around for 7 months till the city hires some demolition contract that's going to charge him $25,000 to do his lot.
Yeah.
I think you have to, you have emergency powers just like I do, and I'm exercising my emergency powers. You have to exercise them also.
I did exercise them.
Because I looked, I mean, you have a very powerful emergency power, and you can do everything within 24 hours.
Yes. And if individuals want to clear out their property, they can. Well, yes, but you know that you will be able to go back soon. We think within a week.
You can't hardly take it.
That's a long time, a week. I'll be honest. To me, everyone's standing in front of their house. They want to go to work, and they're not allowed to do it.
And the most important thing is for people to be safe.
They're safe. They're safe. You know what? They're not safe. They're not safe now. They're going to be much safer. A week is actually a long time, the way I look at it. I watched hundreds of people standing in front of their lots, and they're not allowed to go in. It's all burned. It's gone. It's done. Nothing's going to happen to it. It's not going to burn anymore. There's nothing to burn. There's almost nothing to burn. And they want to go in. The people are all over the place. They're standing. And I say, Warren, you're going in. We're trying to get a permit. And the permit's going to take them. Everybody said 18 months. You said 18 months. You said 18 months.
Last night.
And that was last night.
On it.
We are blocked from entering our streets. Right. We can't even. This is our first time we saw our house. It was yesterday.
Does Trump care about his legacy and how he looks? Probably. Does he care about his ego? Definitely. Just like everyone else. But you know what I think is really going on here? Masculinity has been demonized for a decade. We've been celebrating political correctness and people-pleasing politicians who tell us the polite thing instead of the right thing. So when a confident, masculine leader shows up who is more interested in doing what's good than saying what sounds good, it's so unfamiliar to us that it's triggering.
Boom.
Boom! Is that it? Huh? Can you imagine what they're talking about? Trump is misogynistic. He overstepped his authority. She was elected. Can you imagine, right? Folks, this is all the fruit of, you say there's going to be a revolution. Whoa. There's a revolution going on. There's another revolution going on. You get it? We're in the middle of a second revolution. Hang on. Oh, I got so much stuff to share. Pull up number three. The boss came in. Again, we got to be careful. And the boss came in, like somebody said yesterday, like daddy came home. Daddy finally came back from war, walked in the house and says, okay, here you go. Here's what we're going to do. Scroll down, Spence. I'm not going to read them all. Well, still right there. Trump administration pauses federal finance assistance. New laws, executive orders, a rapidly changing legal landscape for real estate leasing. Trump signs executive order on digital assets. Trump ends affirmative action. Trump administration rescinds certain actions by previous administration. Executive order removing barriers to American leadership and artificial intelligence. President Trump signs executive orders the first day impacting contractors. President Trump's executive orders halts TikTok ban. Executive order clarifying the military's role in protecting the territorial integrity of the United States. Executive order keeping Americans safe in aviation. Executive order declaring a national emergency at the southern border. Executive order declaring a national energy emergency. Drill baby. Executive order delivering emergency price relief. And you know what's going on? Hey, and all those people sitting in Congress, those guys who want to agree with my colleague across the table, across the aisle. I agree with my... No. He don't care. He don't care. Why? Because he's a man's man. And we don't even recognize it, nor do he. An executive order defending women from gender ideology extreme and restoring biblical truth to the federal government. Executive order delivering emergency price relief for American families and defeating the cost of living crisis. Executive order designing cartels and other organizations as foreign terrorist organizations. Ending radical and wasteful government DEI programs. And did you see today? He's offered a early retirement to any government official. Did you guys see that? Any government official, early retirement. You got 2 weeks to decide. He'll buy you off, get you out, clean house. And folks, why do they hate him? Why do they hate him? He's acting like a man. Sorry. He's acting like a man. Michelle, do you love me when I act like a man? Oh, yes, she loves me when I act like a man. Now, don't miss this. Don't miss this. I don't rule as a tyrant in here. Michelle, I got to get into some of this stuff. I got to get into it. Hang on. Can I show you one of the downfalls? Pull up number nine. This was I love Coach Bill McCartney, by the way. Promise Keepers, he just passed away. I love Bill McCartney. I appreciate his heart. I think I've told you this before. When Bill McCartney launched Promise Keepers, and then it grew into stadiums, the pastors got involved. Oh, yeah. Football coach was running everything, and then the pastors got involved. And I want you to look, the seven promises of a promise keeper. This goes back to 88, long way back. And you asked me if these are masculine traits. Okay, scroll down, Spence. Seven promises. Number one, what is it? A promise keeper's committed to honoring Jesus Christ through worship, prayer, obedience to God's word, and the power of the Holy Spirit. I agree with that. Yeah, you can hide in your house and do that. Go to the next one. A promise keeper is committed to pursuing vital relationship with a few other men, understanding that they need brothers to help keep his promises. That's accountability is good. I get that. Meanwhile, they're cutting off the dingers of little boys and girls. Go ahead, next one. Promise keepers committed to practicing spiritual, moral, ethical, and sexual purity. Well, of course, all Christians are supposed to do that. I love Bill McCartney. I'm not making fun of Bill McCartney. This is the influence of the pastors getting around him. Number four. Promise keeper is committed to building strong marriages and families through love, protection, and biblical value. Really? Five. What's the next one? Promise keeper understands that Jesus calls him to be his hands and feet, serving others with integrity. He purposely lifts up the leadership of the church and his nation in prayer. Yeah. Yes. All he's supposed to do is support his pastor and pray. Okay, go to the next one. Number six. Promise keepers committed to reaching beyond any racial, denominational, generational, cultural barriers to demonstrate the power of biblical unity. Good. Very, very good. Hey, when you went to Washington, D.C., why didn't you gripe and moan to the government about it? And then number seven, promise keepers committed to influencing his world and being obedient to the Great Commission and the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Boy, whoo, that'll motivate you, won't you? Won't that motivate you? Do you see any action? Do you see, maybe like me saying to the football team, hey, boys, run out there and stop them. Get out there on the field and stop them. And they say, hey, coach, would you teach us how before you put us out there? You teach us how to go out there and stop them, coach? So Bill McCartney, God bless, I love Bill McCartney. I'm not criticizing him. They came along, the pastors came along, and they softened it up. They softened it up because they didn't want strong biblical men. I'm just telling. I got more. Can I go to another one? Okay, let's see. Number four. Didn't expect this today, did you? I got to get it out of me. Number four, masculine. Now they call it toxic masculine. See, they always have to add an adjective or an adverb to something to alter its original state. You understand? Masculine, by the way, is Latin. Masculinus from masculus, having the qualities of a man. What would those be? Qualities of a man. Strong, robust, resembling a man. What? Coarse, opposed to delicate or soft, as masculine features. Bold, brave. Are you guys seeing this in the church? Are you seeing biblical masculinity in your church? Hang on. Are you seeing it from your pulpit? Sorry. In grammar, the masculine gender of the words is that which expresses a male or something analogous to it. What is the gender appropriate to male, though not always expressing the male sex? So what's happened is they've taught us, sorry, the men and women are equal. And women wear the pants. I grew up in a home where my dad went out and earned the bacon and my mom ran the house. What's feminine? Wait, hang on. Quote number six. I'm sorry if I'm making you mad. My wife's a Proverbs 31 woman. Oh yeah, promise. I'm not going to take time to read. I'll put it in the chat. What my son, what say the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women. This flies right in the face of women's liberation. What does it mean that women were liberated? What were they liberated from? Oh, I know what they're liberated from. Biblical values. They were liberated from biblical values. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. It's not for kings to drink wine, for the priests and strong drink. Go ahead. Go on down. We're going to tell us what a Proverbs 31 woman is. Keep on going. I'm not going to take time to get through it. Proverbs 31 woman. You don't even know what it is, huh? We don't even know what. How can you find a virtuous woman? She will do good and not evil all the days of her life. She will seek wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She's like a merchant ship. She brings food from afar. Keep going, keep going, keep going. She rises also. It while it's still night, gives meat to her household and her portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buys it. Fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. A candle doesn't go out by night. She lays her hands to the spindle and her hands hold. She stretches out her hand to the poor. Yet she reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household. For all the household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. The clothing is silk. And her husband is known in the gates. What? Her husband's known in the gates. Or her husband's known in the positions of authority. Her husband is when he sits among the elders of the land. Her husband does, and she supports him. Is that what we're seeing here? You say we need a revolution. She maketh fine linen, sells it, delivers girdles unto the merchant, strength and honor or clothing. That's my wife. Hey, friends, that's Michelle. That's my wife. She opens her mouth. She doesn't want to, Michelle didn't want to be principal. She didn't want to be governor. She didn't want to be mayor. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Her tongue is the law of kindness. That's Michelle. She looked well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. It was her birthday party last night. I took eight of our 10 grandchildren bowling. One of the most wonderful times of my life. So those little kids have never been bowling. And what? Huh? Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also. And I praise her. I praise my wife. Not because she's the CEO of MGM. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Because favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, woo! She shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. I'm going. I got to get one more thing. I'm going to open it up. Okay. One more thing. You won't see this, but I wrote these down today. Boy, they hate Trump. Five things that femininity, the women's movement, has destroyed in America. Thanks. How did you get that? Feminism. Thanks, Spencer. Hurts women. I'm going to say it again. Feminism has ruined America because it hurts marriage. Women want to wait so they can keep their identities longer, and men are finding easy sex, taking away a big reason for marriage. In other words, a girl graduates from college, and she doesn't want to get married and have children because she wants to advance her career. Number two, folks, this is God's plan, husband and wife. This is God's plan. Feminism undermines child rearing. More kids are in child care where discipline is lax, resulting in an epidemic of bad kids, childhood obesity, and bullies. Friends, many of our children aren't raising their own children. They're in child care. The two trap income. By the way, the government wants you to have two incomes. They want moms separated from the children. Anybody out there calling me a name yet? Anybody calling me what would they call me? Whatever. With both husband and wife working, it's hard to live without life's luxuries. Get a lot of money, go buy a bunch more stuff, then you got to keep working to buy a bunch of stuff. Pay for the bunch of stuff you bought. Number four, undermines college sports. Title IX has ended many male-only sports at some colleges. Number five, the women's movement emasculates men. It's better to be a wuss than speak up or mouth off and face charges of harassment or chauvinism or whatever, right? Take a deep breath. I'm looking. Say, am I okay? Hang on. Number eight. What's feminine? Then I'm going to open it up. Lorianna, you're coming next in Proverbs. Be ready. What's number eight? Feminine. Latin, feminis, femina, meaning woman. The first syllable may be and probably is from the whim or womb, womb, man. By the use of F for W, the B not being radical, the last part of the word is probably from man. Quasi feminine, womb from a man. Womb from a man. So feminism is pertaining to woman or to women or to females as a female sex. And feminine means soft, not a pushover, tender, not bossy, delicate. Her heavenly form is angelic, but more soft and feminine. This is 1828, back when words used to mean things. She's effeminate, destitute of manly qualities. What does feminism teach us? That a man and woman are equal, and they are equal, but they have different roles. In grammar, denoting the gender or words, well, we don't need to worry about that. Feminine, soft, delicate, pertaining to a woman, angelic. Why wouldn't a woman want to be that? Michelle, she's not a prisoner in this house. We're co-equals in this house. But you know how she controls me? Wash your own clothes. Now I said, no, no, honey, look, I'll wash the clothes. You wash the clothes and I'll do this. I love you, all right? All right? You do that and I'll do this. She doesn't say, oh, you're forcing me to be a homemaker. Lord bless us. That's what a woman is. Laura Ann, come on in.
Okay. So this is my lane. The feminine movement defeminized women 100%. They took away their right to be a female.
The dainty.
Then
that's right.
Hugh Hefner comes in and says this and redefines a woman as being a Playboy bunny. So we all know what bunnies
there
represent.
You go. There you go.
And there's a female thing, and you're just supposed to be a hooker, and that's how you're supposed to please men.
So let
right?
me stop you a minute, Lauren. Let me stop you, Lauren. Who are the stars that the culture is promoting to our women? Katy Perry can't even keep her clothes on everywhere. Huh? You know who they are, right? All of them are people who take their clothes off. All of them. And so women become a sex object, which is exactly what feminism said they weren't going to become. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah, and then you have Beyonce, and then you got Taylor Swift, who's a witch, practicing witch, who dresses provocatively on stage and like a witch. And then in her private life, she doesn't dress like that, so that all these little girls are wanting to go that because okay. all these moms are saying, oh, yeah, we can make friendship bracelets, right?
But if I speak out against it, I'm a chauvinist, right? I'm a chauvinist and a woman's hater, right? Do you see how the game's played?
And this is the huge problem with our culture and the culture of the disciples of Christ, right? Or the Christian community, is that women, they've taken away the woman's right to want to be at home. Like for me, I want to be married. I want to stay home. Do I want to have a career? My career is raising my family.
Amen.
That my husband honors it so much that he wants to give me the freedom to be able
to work.
To not have to no, but it is work. Raising yes. kids, taking care of a house, being a wife that it's an honorable position. The church has said, no, it's not. The culture says, no, it's not, because you want to be there for your kids. So now we're going to let your kids carve up their bodies, make a decision
yep.
without you being involved. So now they made the decision of what sex they're going to be. So God's taken it away. Being formed in your womb is supposed to be a tomb, right? And now you get to come out and you could just pick your gender because now you're God. Because now you can pick whether or not whatever it is that you want to be, right? But right. this is the thing. And then you have this component of the problem. 81, based on the current census of a couple years ago, right? 81% of American families, according to our census, is single mom homes. 53% of those kids, which is probably has now increased, right, have IEPs or 504s. Yeah. Right? Because yeah. these kids aren't being taught. And then you can't go at home because moms and dads aren't showing up to the IEPs or the 504s. They don't even realize that these are contracts with the government, right? And where are the men coming alongside of women and saying, I want you to be feminine. I want a woman who wants to stay home.
I got one.
Right. But we need more like single moms like me, right? I'm not a dating whore. I'm not going out dating because I just want anybody to fill the role as my daughter's dad. I don't.
Lori, let me ask you this. Can a woman have a baby without a man?
No,
they can't, huh? So it takes two to tango, as they say. And now they want to tell us there's no difference. Do you understand, folks? Do you see how the enemy has so infiltrated the culture that this stuff's going on in front of us and we can't even recognize it?
And then they tell men, you don't have to be a dad. You don't have to be responsible.
Hey, honey,
the church has to go over to the government.
Go kill the baby. It's your choice, huh? Your choice. Honey, right. Go and have an abortion. I'll pay for it. It's your choice. See what they do.
No, and then this is the other, and then I'll finish on this lane, and we'll go down the abortion lane, right? Okay, it's your body, your choice, whatever. Now, if all these women have been raped and there's incest, why are not the jails and the courts banged up with all these rape and in abuse,
incest?
Where white men lined up in prisons or in courts because they raped or incest or mutilated these girls. Where is the courts with that? Help me to understand that.
Adam, come on in.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Yeah, you know, there's three things that have infiltrated U.S. society. Three things that they use to speak against men. They if you speak with truth, they say, "Well, you have male rage," right? Or yeah. all those say, well, who are you to talk to me like that?
Masculinity, you're toxic masculinity.
Yeah, yeah. Or if you try to correct somebody, you say, don't you mansplain to me? So they basically are trying to outlaw manhood. And then the other thing that they want to tell people is, well, you're a cis male. You're a cis male. I don't need to hear from a cis male, which you and I both know just means a normal man, right?
Mm-hmm.
But so to them, normality
is
evil.
I interrupt for a living. Ask yourself right now. Come on now. Stay with me. You may give me some. Think of every famous pastor. How'd they get famous, by the way? Who decided they were famous? That they were the one to follow? Who decided that? Somebody wrote a book and promoted a book, probably, right? Can somebody tell me right now a famous John Wayne pastor? Can somebody give me one? I'll wait.
You are.
No, I'm not a pastor. I didn't mean it to me. A famous worldwide masculine pastor. Give me one.
When he was alive, I believe Adrian Rogers was, because he spoke against the government.
Yeah, buddy, that's 20 years ago. He ain't alive anymore. There ain't any Adrian Rogers out there. It's a point I'm making. Who else?
I'll give you one. Greg Locke, even though he's kind of mistaken on certain things.
Well, they hate him, though.
Yeah.
They hate Greg Locke. Why? Because he isn't effeminate.
Boom.
He isn't feelings. They hate him, right? They hate him.
Hey, Coach, Chuck Baldwin.
They hate Chuck Baldwin. They Tony hate Spell. Him. Right?
Tony Spell. Well, now Pastor Bill.
Well, Pastor Bill's always been that way. He's always been that way. See, we don't promote that. Why don't we promote it? The same thing I started. The same people that will see Katy Perry parents are pastors. And Katy Perry started out in the Christian music realm. Did you guys know this? She started out as a Christian music artist. Pastor parents. Katy Perry, Christian, and doggone it, she couldn't get any traction there. So then she went the other way, and now look at her. How about Hannah Montana? You guys know who Hannah Montana was? What's her name? Come on, who's Hannah Montana?
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. And she was Disney, right? Oh, Disney. Achy breaky heart, Billy Ray Cyrus. That's her daddy. She was Christian. What happened? Oh, she learned to take off her clothes and get some tattoos, and now she's a billionaire, right? Come on. I'm just telling you the truth. How come they didn't promote her when she was just achy, breaky heart little girl? Why'd they turn her into a slut? Why'd they turn her into a slut? Where's her father? Jeff Nell. Are you hating me yet? You guys hating me? I'm just telling you the truth. We have to open our eyes to what's going on around us because there's a revolution. There's a counter-revolution about to begin. They hate Trump because he said a man's a man and a woman's a woman, and those are the policies that we're going to promote. And all those cackling, they're sick at their stomach because he's telling them the truth. Go ahead, Jeff. Sorry.
Yeah, I'd like to pay producer bring up 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 13 to the 17. My brother died in his funeral.
13 through 17.
It's known that my brother died in his funeral this Friday, and my siblings are Democrats. They fall for, they're useful idiots, I should say. And the anger and the bitterness know that I honor God best of my ability. And my sisters are nothing but troublemakers, spreading rumors and gossip.
Anyway, go ahead.
All right, let's read chapter 13. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good?
Wow.
But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Be sanctified the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that, whereas that you speak evil of you, as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversations in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing.
Amen. Well, that's the promise. You're going to be hated of all men. You're going to be hated of all men. Vinny.
Well, you just mentioned Miley Cyrus. And guys, I'd like to simply ask you, what's the percentage of Disney offerings to us that have grown up wholesome versus the percentage that haven't? It's a startling number.
Yeah. Why is that, Vinny?
Well, they're being groomed to, remember, she was Hannah Montana, and then she became what she is now.
You're telling me that Hollywood is grooming the stars they're going to put out there to influence the innocent children sitting in your house watching it?
Right? I believe
Disney is.
Yes.
Yeah. And I wonder how many. Come on now. I was with all my grandkids last night. I told them we went bowling. They were having the time of their lives. And you know what I kept seeing? It was really pretty. Michelle, I don't even know if you saw this or not. The little ones are, I mean, like 6 years old. You know, you have to put the bowling ball on top of the frame and you push it down. It rolls from. They'd never bowled before. When that ball would roll down the thing and they would go down and it would hit the pins and knock them down, I'm telling you, I saw it. The little grandchild would run to mommy. Then run to daddy. They ran to mommy, all excited to mommy. Now daddy was there and daddy was reinforcing. You see that young child mother bond is so strong that they naturally went to be affirmed to their mommy. And if dads are not actively affirming their daughters, whatever, femininity, whatever, if daddy isn't actively affirming it, see, the children run to the mommy because from the time they were born, mommy fed them, mommy wiped their butts, mommy gave them baths, mommy was the authority figure to them. And what's happened as time progresses, dads get less and less involved with the children. Masculinity disappears. Those kids, when I'd stand up and cheer when that ball would go down and then knock down two pins, you know how it is. Oh, yeah, Emmy. And she'd come back and give me a high five. Male affirmation. Come on, Dave Allison.
Yeah, great show this morning, Coach. We got the hate part down. We're hated. Nothing will change until we're feared.
Oh, Dave. Hey, Vinny, that's a boom right there. Nothing will change until we're feared. Hey, Dave.
Coach, I want to finish with this. You're dealing with somebody right now that hates you. Yep. He needs to fear you.
I got that, brother. I got that. Amen. Is it better to be hated or feared? I'm going to tell you something. Hatred is a fruit of fear, I believe. John Loveland, good point, Dave.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Hey, you got three John Wayne pastors in the queue. You got Dale, you got Clint Harper, and you got the pastor of pain. They're meds, men. And the other
maybe more. We don't want to Tim, Pastor Tim, out there in Oregon. He's out there. We don't miss him. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, you're right. Yep. So the last thing I want to say was, why does a revolution start? It starts at the bottom because people weren't treated right.
That's right. Whose
fault is it that the women's lib started? It's men's fault because they didn't treat their wives properly.
Wow, it's men's. That's right. That's absolutely right. You don't talk to your mother like that. And I told little David, my little grandson from the time, I said, David, men defend women. Men defend women. Can I give you a vision I have here? And I can't seem to get any traction with it. Maybe because I'm not sharing it in the place. I want to turn Sky High into a training ground for young men. I want them to come to Sky High, to be taken out on that Sky High and learn to run up and down those hills, learn to chop wood, learn to do manly things, and then go in and have classes on what it means to be a godly man to a family and to a culture and to a society. Is that being done anywhere that you know of? Is it being done anywhere? And I have to ask myself this. If I do that, I'm sorry, can I tell you the truth? My daughter's both homeschooled. Will the homeschool mommies think it's toxic masculinity? Because that's all they've been programmed to, right? Huh? And then I said to Michelle, not telling the story, I love you. Michelle, you take the girls in the afternoon. You teach them how to be a virtuous woman. You teach them how to cook and how to bake, and you teach them those things that women are supposed to do. They can still go play softball and volleyball. They can still go do that all the time. But we got to train the next generation to be homemakers, and fathers to be fathers in a home. We got to teach them to do that. What do men do? They protect, they defend, they fight off the wolves. Is that being taught where you go to church? Is it? I don't know. I really feel this today, and I'm far from perfect, man. I'm far from perfect. Far from it. But I see what's going on. I saw the evolution about 25 years ago when all of a sudden, when somebody's child didn't play, mommy called me, not dad. Mommy called me. I knew who ran that phone. I knew who ran that family. Dad didn't pull the kid aside and say, hey, son, you want to play? Work harder. You be the hardest worker out there, so they have to play you. And mommy's over there saying, oh, he just doesn't like you. The coach doesn't play his favorite. I lived it. Jeff Klein, come on in.
Coach, here's an example. I'm kind of comparing this. Christians are about the same as the far left liberal Democrats. I've spoke with them on the square. I spoke with them at my mom's funeral. Couple little texts I got from my sister. One, she said, when I spoke at the funeral, I said some good things. They were true. And my mom's husband's side of the family didn't have a problem with it, which I just spoke to one of the guys here 2 weeks ago. And he said, there was nothing wrong with what you said at that funeral, Jeff. But everybody at the funeral was basically saying they're Christians. I didn't think they were the far left Democrats off the square. So, So my sister says, I think you should get to know somebody before you speak at their funeral. And I'm like, what? So then a few days later, she texts me and says, why are you always so angry with everyone? I just texted her back. I said, why are you so ignorant? And then she texts me, the rest of the family is not angry, just you. And then here recently, she just texts me again. God and your mother know the truth. Stop telling lies. I said, why don't you speak to me face to face? This stuff on texting, you know what I mean? She ain't coming around. That's where they are.
Hey, listen, my wife just scolded me. Thank you, Michelle. Isaiah, who is Maggie's husband, is a wonderful involved daddy. I didn't want that to sound like he's a wonderful involved daddy. He's a great daddy. He disciplines them. I didn't want to. Okay, I want that to come in. And Morgan, too. They're both great daddies. both great daddies. So I didn't want my daughter to hear this and Isaiah get mad and say, no, I couldn't have picked a better son-in-law than both. What's that? She's yelling at me. She's yelling at me. I couldn't have handpicked better son-in-laws than we have. I want to say that. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, just in case anybody doesn't know, the Black Robe Regiment didn't pick their name. They were named that was coined by the King of England, George, because he feared the pastors. He feared them. Mm. Let's get some fear going.
That's Dave Allison. Hey, Dave Allison, give me that again. That was the line of the day. What was the line of the day, Dave? He probably ran over eating a hamburger. He'll come back. What? Huh? Folks, we're not going anything done. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Huh? Oh, yeah. The fear of the citizens is the beginning of good government. The fear of it. And what did they do on January 6th? The guys that had the courage to go there, they locked him up because they want the rest of you weenies to fall in line talking about me. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, do your neighbors fear Michelle or do they fear you? Let me show you this, Coach. Adam, God gave Adam authority. He made him first. I can't change that. I'll never change that.
Nope.
Eve, he made Eve to be a compliment to him, okay? It takes two women. We need women. There's no doubt about it. And they have authority. But without the masculine authority, they do not have the superior authority and never will. That's why women should not be pastors. Women should not really be.
Jesus said that, Randy. It's not me and you, Randy. The Bible says that.
It's just natural, Coach. But when you have feminine men, women want to rule and people let them because the culture has allowed it. It takes men of God to come back and start ruling with godliness instead of power and control and it'll change, Coach. It's going to change. Men are coming back. They're stepping up.
It has to. But folks, we have to purposely do that. I wasn't criticizing the fact that my grandson ran to his mother. I was just showing the natural tendency of a child to run to the mom. She's been the nurturer. Dad, you have to actively get involved with it. You got to actively. Hey, folks. I didn't have the statistic out. What do you think percentage of public school, elementary public school teachers of men are?
About 5%.
5%? Maybe you think it'd be that high? You think if you lined up a bunch of men, elementary school teachers, you think 5 out of 100? Yeah, it might be 10. Why? Because we have turned women into trainers of our children, which is okay, but the dad has to be involved. I can't imagine when I was a kid, he went to the principal. He actually swung the paddle. Anybody remember that? Do kids today have to, do they even have to go face a woman, let alone a paddle? Remember the hubbub over corporal punishment? Oh my goodness, Lord. Bring the or not more haters. I'm making more haters. Judd, go for it.
Coach, you talk about manhood. Talk about stones. Big ones. Donald Trump went before the GOP just a couple days ago in a meeting and said that I believe that we need to abolish the IRS,
yes, sir,
and the Federal Reserve.
Yep.
And then they introduced HR 25. It's already there. Like, this is the biggest news. Can you imagine some girly man getting up there and being like, hey, I'm going to get rid of that. No more taxes.
No more taxes, right? And they're all griping and moaning, saying, oh, he's going to put on, what do they call them? Tariffs. Oh, look, dudes, tariffs will raise prices as well. But it ain't, folks, they can't take your money. So hang on. I got to say this. I'll get you in, Claudine, in just a second. Jeff, promise I'll get you in. So I was thinking about at what point, I don't know if you guys know this, that we file financial papers with the government. There's a separation between the church and state, they tell us. Yet, all of the expenditures of Past Assault Ministries have to be approved by the government.
How's that a separation? How's that a, folks, how's that a separation? And if you make a donation to Past Assault Ministries, you want me to notify the government who give you approval to write that off your... What the hell? What? You're not even in control of your own money? You can't even give your money away and get a don... Folks, we got a lot of unpacking to do. Claudine, come on in.
Yes, I just want to go back to the conversation about the roles. I was raised in an unusual circumstance. I grew up with my grandparents who are from Europe after the war, and my mom was divorced. And so when it was my turn to be a mother, I had four daughters. Mm. And I thought to myself, dear God, why four daughters? Because I was not a very good teenager. But, you know, through deep prayer and a lot of time in the Bible, I really wanted to make sure my children knew their role as a woman, as a female, as a girl. And yes, they can do all that they would like to achieve, but to understand when it comes time to be a mother, that's your role. And it's not your career. Your career becomes your motherhood. You can do a little bit of both. I mean, a little bit of the working role, but the role is being the mother. And so they understood my role. I taught them, I homeschooled them. And my husband is a very, he's all guy. He's like, he's rough around the words, you know, he's not sympathetic. And there's a role play between that. And we need to raise our children to understand that he's a guy and this is how he behaves. And you're going to want that in times of stress, fear, you know, he's going to be your security. We're going to be the ones that are going to provide in the home, and we're going to make lovely meals and have a nice home to come back to and raise our children. I think we've just got to go back to raising our children within their roles. And yes, they could still achieve great things, but we've lost touch of who we are by God.
So Claudine, I was at an event the other day. I can't remember where it was. Our grandson, David, I don't know how old these kids are. I think he's seven maybe. And he was doing something. I said, are you ready? I said the curse word of all curse words. I said, David, stop acting like a girl. Oh my God.
But even the boys need to be raised as men.
That's right.
And not be afraid and stand up and do what's right for their family.
Right.
And that also means respecting young girls, because this is what's been infected in our school systems. And I'm listening to the stories of these broken young ladies who have had many abortions, who have had many partners before they're even 19 years old.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I am very thankful to God that all my girls remain virgins, because I taught them it is a gift to your future husband.
Amen.
Do not just give it away, because every time you do, you lose more of yourself and you have less for the husband you love.
Yeah, be like
and
Miley
this
Cyrus.
Needs to be taught.
Be like Miley Cyrus and be like them. Be like them. Come on, folks. Julie, come in quickly.
Good morning. Hey, real quick. I was always taught that masculine jobs are for men, feminine women jobs are for women, and I still feel like that today. Thanks.
I do too, but I think it can be a crossover. Did you hear what Bill Dunphy said yesterday? I don't know if you heard this or not. 80% of the guards in the men's prison are women. Did you guys hear that? Did you hear that? 80% of guards in that prison he was in were women. And you asked me this. I hate to tell you this. It's humiliating for a man to take orders from a woman. No matter how much you try to feminize him, it's humiliating to be bossed by a woman. Quickly, Jeff.
Coach, I walked into the principal's office one time with my clipboard and whistle around my neck, football practice after school, overflow, timeout room was full. He had six kids in his office sitting in chairs. I walked in, I said, what's going on in here? So, this is overflow. I said, oh, Bill, I said, send these boys down to the football field. I'll take care of these boys. They looked at me scared to death. And then I was sitting here just now and I thought of this. I got Mary Jane got me a coffee cup. and it's got on it, got Donald Trump, and on it says he's in a car, got his thumb out the window. It says, "Get in, loser. We're taking America back."
We're taking them, Jeff. I'm out of time. Get in, loser. We're taking America back. Masculinity is a good thing. See you tomorrow.